Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. He said, go into all the world. Can you get that, the 100 million video ready, please? It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Now, right here, God is pointing out to us that when it comes to preaching, there should not be discrimination. Amen. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. The use of the word creature, of course, does not mean that God meant for us to preach to butterflies and insects and roaches, and because they are all creatures. Do you understand? But that is figuratively being used to describe whoever you or another person may consider, for whatever reason, to be the lowest person. Do you see what I'm saying? That the Lord is trying to say by that verse that no one is too high and no one is too low to deserve to be preached to. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why he's saying that whatever you call the person, even if he's a creature, even if he's as low as a creature, just a creature, so long as he's a creature, he deserves to be preached to.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why some of the t-shirts we have, like Ines' t-shirt over there. Can you stand up, please, Ines, so we can see you? Her t-shirt says, a soul is a soul and it's precious to God. A soul is a soul and is precious to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That whoever they are, wherever they live, wherever they can be found, a soul is a soul, whether they are educated or not educated, whether they are rich or poor, whether they live in a rich country or live in a poor country, whether they can afford a good drinking water or cannot afford good drinking water, whether they have roads in their country or do not have roads in their country, whether they live in mansions near Hollywood or they live in huts in another place, whatever their conditions, that's why he used the word creature. He said, creature, creature. You can't get lower than that. Do you see what I'm saying? So whether they belong to the rich and famous or the poor and forgotten, you know, whoever they are, a soul is a soul and deserves to be preached to. Amen. So our mission as a church or as Christians is to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord has given to every Christian. Now, what you will find is that even though we all have this commission, that we all as Christians everywhere, regardless of the name of the church or denomination, because this doesn't have any particular denomination attached to it. I don't know, does it have a denomination attached to yours in your Bible? Does it say this is especially to those members of Lighthouse Chapel? Or this particular verse goes to all Catholics. Is that what it says there? No. So this is a general Christian commission. Do you understand? Now, even though we all have this general Christian commission, you will find also that not every church has been blessed with the opportunity as the Lord has given us to fulfill this scripture, you know, on the scale at which we have been blessed to be doing this. Hallelujah. That not every church, even though we all have the same commission, all of us are assigned, all of us have been asked to do this. This scripture is for all churches, is for all Christians. Yet not all churches, not all Christians, do you see, have been blessed to go this far or to do this much or to do it on the scale to which we've been blessed to do this. Are you following what I'm saying? And so you should understand that when God has given you much, then much is expected of you. Do you see what I'm saying? For example, all of us are born as little babies. Most of us weigh somewhere, an average, somewhere between 6 and 8 pounds. You know, if you're blessed, you probably come out at 9 or 10 or something like that. Do you see? Like this Jifa's baby, I think that he's going to break the scale when he comes out. Hallelujah. Right. So we come out, but most of us, even the biggest of babies, is really small. Then we all start to grow up. And when you start to grow, you realize that all of us have been given an ability to attain some height. Isn't it? Yeah. Most people don't get stuck the way they were born. Right? Then we start going up. When we start going up, then some get to this level and stop. Then others go a little further and stop. Then others go even further and stop. Depending on what genes you are carrying, you go up to a certain level and stop. Now, some people get to be really, really tall. Do you understand? Now, to whom much is given, much is required. So if you're one of those, we all started and we all started to grow tall, and then you're one of those like Pastor Munene who gets to be really, really tall, you should not be surprised if you are often asked to pick things up for the people when those things are very high. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Are you following what I'm saying? So you shouldn't be surprised that when there's a job for taller people, when we have to lift something from a height, when we have to hang something on a height, you shouldn't be surprised that often when it has to do with height, everybody is looking at you. They're looking at you because we can see that among all people, you have been blessed. You have been naturally endowed with a height. God has blessed you, and so you're the one we're looking up to be able to help us achieve this particular thing. What do you think? Right. So in the same way, I'm saying that we all have the scripture to obey, but not every church has been given the privilege and blessing as God has greatly honored our church. God has really blessed us by opening doors to us in places that people can only imagine or dream about. And in a moment, I'm going to show you a video of some of the things that God has enabled us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can better understand what Healing Jesus Crusade is about. And so you can better understand the expectation that God has for you and why God is looking up to you to be able to help fulfill this ministry that he has given to us. Can I have an amen? Amen. So today I'm sharing with you 3 reasons why you must support Healing Jesus Crusade. Hallelujah. And the first reason is simply that it is the crusade that God has given to our church. Amen. It is the evangelism effort that is right before us. That's the one that God has placed right before us. And we need to support it and we need to do our very best. Amen. So I show you a video and then I preach a little, then I show you a video and I preach a little. How about that? Can you accept that? Or you don't like watching movies in church? Okay. All right. Amen. So Pastor Munene, if you have the first video, or Salom, who has the first video, I want you to get it ready and I want you to show us the 100 million souls. Our vision is to win 100 million souls. Hallelujah. Pause. Can you pause, please? Yes. Our vision is to have or bring 100 million people to the Lord. Amen. Is that a good vision to have? Is it a good vision? 100 million people. Is it possible? Because he says, go ye into all the world. How many people live in the world? Yeah, so if we've been sent to 7 billion people and you carve out 100 million people, you're not doing a whole lot anyway. Do you understand? But that's a good starting point. We want to be able to reach 100 million people with the gospel. We want 100 million decisions for Christ. 100 million people, regardless of where they are, 100 million creatures. Wherever they live and wherever they would hear us, we want to bring 100 million people to the Lord. And here is a video that supports that. So can you turn off the lights first, please, just so we see it very clearly. Let's have the lights off first, please. The lights. Okay. And then you can roll the tape.
Beautiful, beautiful, God.
Oh God.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
I know I am a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I come to you, Lord.
Come to you, Lord.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Oh God. Please wash away my sins.
Please wash away my sins.
Make me a new person.
Make me a new person.
From today.
From today.
The Healing Jesus campaign has been on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What began as a small gathering of people has grown into one of the biggest evangelistic efforts in Africa. Since 2004, after 270 nights of 81 campaigns, 8.7 million souls have been won through the Healing Jesus campaign. To God be the glory.
Good place to put your hands together. Amen. Was that a blessing?
Yes.
What do you think of that crusade? Wow. And in 10 years, we have only reached 8 million people. We're trying to reach 100 million. We're not even 10%, way through what we are setting ourselves to do. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can see the scripture. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our job is to preach to everyone. It's not our job to make everyone believe. Believing depends on whom God has convicted. But our job is to tell people that Christ died for them. Hallelujah. And sharing with you about the reasons why we must support Healing Jesus, I was saying that the first reason is because that's the one that's in front of you. Hallelujah. It is the crusade that God has placed in front of you. Otherwise, to obey the scripture, you would have had to go find one to support. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to go find someone who is doing something like this and support them, But it is our blessing to have one placed right in front of us, one that we can connect to immediately. Because most of the time, it's not that we don't know what is right to do. But what it is that when things are near you, they are easier to do, isn't it? So, for example, most of us know that it's good to give to the poor, isn't it? But the poor who receive something from you are usually the ones you come across. Not even just the ones you come across, the ones who ask you for something, isn't it? when you come to a stoplight, the guy who stands there and who comes to your vehicle asking for something is the most likely to get something from you. Even though you know very well that it's a blessing to give to the poor. But most of us do not go out of our way, you know, to go look for the poor to bless them. It is the poor who come to look for us. And they are the ones who receive anything. So it shows that proximity is also a factor. And it helps, isn't it, in helping you to obey and to fulfill the scriptures. That is why it is our blessing that the crusade we are talking about is not one that is somewhere. I'm not bringing something to you from India or something from Pakistan or something from a preacher somewhere else. But this is happening right in our own house and happening right in our own church. Hallelujah. So that is one of the reasons today that you must support and give, plan to give Healing Jesus a special offering and a special gift, that I want to join in this effort and I want to help what God is doing, because it's a great effort and it is a blessing. It is an honor indeed that God will commit such a thing to us. God could have given it to anybody else. When you read the scriptures, you find that God commits things to people. Do you see him? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Let's read Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Have you found it? Bear you one another's burdens. No, that's not the verse. Let me just tell you the verse in one moment. Okay. Galatians chapter 2 verse 7. I'm sorry, I did not note it well. Right. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they to the circumcision. Hallelujah. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Let's start again from verse 7. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, that means the gospel is simply the gospel, the good news. And he says the good news to the uncircumcision, that means those who were not circumcised, that means those who were not Jews. You know, he said that when they realized that preaching to the non-Jews was committed to me, just like preaching to the Jews was committed to Peter. Do you understand? Because you realize that God calls people and gives them unique graces to be effective in particular areas and to be effective with particular groups of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see that? So Paul is saying that some people realized that he was doing very well among the uncircumcised people, just as Peter was doing very well among the circumcised people. Do you understand? And he explains in verse 8, which is in brackets, verse 8, what he means. He says, because he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. That means the God who was at work, you know, doing mighty things with Peter, you know, amongst the circumcised, he seemed to be at work in me also doing the equivalent in great works towards the Gentiles. Do you understand? Then the next verse. And so when, verse 9, when Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, that means solid guys. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you a solid guy in the Lord? Hallelujah. He said, when Cephas and James and John, who seemed to be pillars, when they perceived the grace that was given to me, huh? When they perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Hallelujah. He said that Cephas, James, and John, who were solid, mature guys in the Lord, they realized not everyone can do everything. Not everyone is able to do everything. And they realized that what people are able to do is a function of what grace has been bestowed upon them. And so he said that what we are looking at in Paul's ministry is not ordinary. Not everyone is able to do that. Do you understand? Not everybody is going to go to the places where God has allowed us to go to preach to the people that we are preaching to. Hallelujah. And Paul and his friends, they understood that very clearly, that this thing, it takes the grace of God. If someone is doing something so well on a certain scale, it is not ordinary and it's not to be taken for granted. But anybody who is mature in the Lord, whose eyes are open, ought to see that this is indeed the work of God. Amen. It is the hand of God. Amen. It is the doing of the Lord. And that person must be encouraged to do it. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said, when Cephas, John, and James, when they saw that this grace was upon me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. They said to Paul and Barnabas, listen, you have our best support. Hallelujah. He says, you have our best support. He said, you go on and preach. You go on and do it because you seem to be doing this very well. Okay, so what we are going to do is to support you. What we are going to do is to join hands with you. We're going to give you our very best support while you go out there and keep doing the good work that God has given you grace to do. Can I have an amen? And that is the attitude that we must have in this church towards Bishop Dagg and the Healing Jesus Crusade.
No,
I'm talking about attitude. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So I'm saying that we need to support him. We need to say that we can see that God's hand, we can see that God's hand is at work here. God is the one doing this work. Hallelujah. Did you see the crowds? The crowds that gathered, so many of them. Hallelujah. And it takes something to be able to gather that many people. It is the grace of God. It is not ordinary. It's not happening everywhere. It's not happening to every preacher. It's not happening in every church. It is the grace of God. Amen. And in the Bible, they saw it. Peter, James, Cephas, James, and John, you know, they perceived that this is a grace. That the way this guy is preaching so successfully among the uncircumcised people. Because in those days, even it was not lawful for the Jews to intermingle with the Gentiles. And here was somebody who was not only mixing up with them, but somebody who was converting them in droves and bringing them to the Lord. And said, this is a grace. This is something that God is doing. And therefore, we will give him our right hand of fellowship. Amen. We're going to support him. We're going to stand with him so that he can do even more, because that seems to be something that God has given him to do. I believe that God has blessed Bishop with that grace. Amen. All across Africa right now, he's going to every place. And who knows, as the Lord gives us life and opportunity, it won't be long before we come to these parts too. Hallelujah. But as the Lord has opened, wherever the Lord has opened the door, you know, people are people, souls are souls, and they deserve our support and help. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you a second verse, you know, a second video. This one says, tell them. Hallelujah. Tell them. And so we're going to watch that one, and then I'll be back to share with you again. Can you take the lights out again? And then let's watch that second one. Okay. I'll return in due time, oh yeah.
He said, behold, I come quickly. Oh, yeah. Got my reward in my hand. Oh, yeah. I'm coming back to destroy the works of Satan all over this land. Yes, I will. My children, don't worry about your future.
Amen. All right. Now, what did you think of that video? Powerful, isn't it? The second reason why we must support Healing Jesus Crusade is that it is our duty to warn the lost. Amen. God has given us a job of warning the lost, bringing the gospel to people. Now, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. According to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, this is an interesting verse. Can you put it on the screen and give everybody a chance to see it? It says, "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness," this is talking about backsliders. Wow. "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul." Hallelujah. So you can see again that our job is to preach the gospel. We're not responsible for what people do with our message, but we're responsible for giving them the message. And God is saying that when I say to someone that if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell, and you don't tell the person is going to die one day, they will go to hell. But he said, I'll hold you responsible. I will blame you because you didn't tell him that he would go to hell. This is the reason why we're supposed to go to every place, that nowhere must be too far, that no one must be too high, and no one must be too low, no place must be too poor, no place must be too rich. Our job is to broadcast the message and let everybody hear, give everyone a chance, and let everybody know that Christ died for them. That is our job. And he says, when we do it, we have saved our soul. Hallelujah. It is our responsibility. We owe it even to ourselves. If not even for their sake, we need to do it for our own sake, to make sure that as the gospel was preached to us and we got saved, we also did not hold that gospel back from others. We also did not keep it back from others. We also did not prevent others from hearing the gospel, and we gave them the chance. And what they do with it is up to them and the Holy Spirit. We are not the ones who convict people. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin. He is the one who has the job of making someone feel bad for their sin. He's the one who has the job of making someone feel a need to repent from their sin. But that need, that's why the Bible says we were not supposed to even start preaching without the Holy Spirit. Because we do the outward part and the Holy Spirit does the internal part. He does the internal workings, but we must actually tell the people. Amen. That is why he sent us out to preach. And that is why, see, the song we just listened to says, "They shall be mine." Many people are savable. Many people will turn to the Lord if someone will go to them with the gospel. Many people will turn to the Lord. Many people are just waiting for someone to tell them, you know, what to do, someone to point out to them. Many people in the world are ready for so many things. Sometimes when I'm driving around and I see new cars and so on, I get fascinated. It looks like people were just waiting for the car manufacturers to make a new one. Because as soon as they make a new one, they just buy them and put them on the road. I mean, you just have to release it and somebody wants it. And the world understands that. People are waiting for products to be made and they'll buy them. People will even discard what is working and go for a new thing just because it's new. That is how the world is in relation to the gospel also. People are just waiting for someone to come to them to give them a reason to stop worshiping idols, to stop going after vain gods, to stop following after money and following after worldliness, and to give themselves to the Lord and to worship the one and only true King, Jesus. Hallelujah. And they will do it. They will do it. And you can see, as this particular crusade, in 3 or 4 nights, they had almost 200,000 people giving their lives to Christ. The peak attendance for one night was about 72,000. But when you put the whole crusade together, the number of decisions for Christ, 194,000, that's very close to 200,000 people. That is an effort that is worthy of our support. Hallelujah. That is worthy of our support. I'm going to show you one more video before I share with you my last reason for tonight, for today. Amen. This video says, tell them. Even if they don't believe you, tell them. Amen. So turn this light off again, please.
Wow.
The Healing Jesus Crusades begin with a series of mini campaigns which are held in villages and towns located around the crusade ground. A typical crusade would include a visit to over 100 villages and towns, covering up to 150 kilometer radius. Advanced teams of crusade workers travel to these towns and villages to tell them about Christ and to emphasize the need for them to actively take part in the up-and-coming crusade. The advanced team often have to travel to these remote areas and live with the local inhabitants in these villages for several months. Preparation is hard work.
Another good one.
Wow, are you enjoying the service? Are you understanding it? Are you coming along? Hallelujah. The third reason why we must support Healing Jesus Crusade is because people must be sent in order for them to preach. People must be sent in order for them to preach. Amen. Now, you would have thought that once you have a message, that's enough. You will go and preach. But Jesus taught us that even for him to come into the world, he had to be sent by the Father. In other words, just having a good message is not enough to put a preacher before sinners. Between having a good message and actually preaching the good message, people have to be sent. Hallelujah. People have to be sent. Preaching does not work when there's no sender. Do you understand? When nobody has sent you, you know, preaching doesn't work. Even starting churches and so on, it's not enough to mean well. You must be sent. Do you understand? You must be sent. It is one of the reasons why Jesus got himself baptized. Even though Jesus had been sent by God into the earth, he knew that he needed to convince people that he had actually been mandated to do what he's doing in a way that the people would understand. That is why Jesus went to submit himself to John's baptism. You know, so one day when it did come up as he expected, some people asked him, "Where is your qualification for doing what you are doing?" They asked him, "By which authority are you doing this? You know, what credentials do you have?" You know, then he quickly referred to John's baptism. And he said, you know, John's baptism, where is it from? You know, he was trying to show them, because the people were questioning, well, what is your background? What gives you the right to do what you're doing? Where are you coming from? Which Bible school did you go to? Show us your certificate. You need to show us some kind of proof, some authority upon which you are saying all these wonderful things. And Jesus knew that if he says my authority is from God, they will say he's blaspheming. If he says I've been sent by God, they can't relate with it. So that's the reason why Jesus got himself baptized by a recognized preacher in town. He went through John the Baptist's baptismal classes, you know, and submitted himself to that whole experience so that people can relate with it. Hallelujah. So people have to be sent. You don't just follow someone just because he has started a church. You don't just follow someone just because he preaches well. But you need to follow someone who has a mandate to do what he's doing. He has been sent to do what he's doing. We've been sent here. That's why we're here in LA. Hallelujah. So we need to follow someone who has been sent to preach. Hallelujah. Now, sending both means being given a mandate and also being supported to do what your mandate has asked you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is the part that I want us to concern ourselves with this morning. Hallelujah. That people must be sent in order for them to preach. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10 from verse 9, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, this puts it in a very simplistic way, which is that people are saved simply by believing in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing that with their mouth. Hallelujah. So if salvation was as simple as this, why is the whole world not saved? Do you understand? Right? Because right here we can see, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, because righteousness comes from what you believe in your heart. And with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, And the scripture says in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. So what he's saying, obviously, is that salvation is really for everyone. It is very easy. You just believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you are saved. Hallelujah. And he says that this salvation, it works for everyone, whether they're Jews or Greeks or Gentiles or whatever, whoever they are, wherever they are in the world, the message is the same, and that message works for everyone. So here we are, we have a message that is simple, isn't it? We have a message also that works across the world. It works for everyone. So if you have a process of salvation which is so easy and simple, and you have a message that can be received by anyone in the world, why is the world still not saved? Amen. He says, whosoever, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. So again, you can see that there is no favoritism. It is very, very simple. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. Anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. See, if they had to maybe climb up a certain mountain, then we will start eliminating people. Because it would depend on whether you can climb or not. Do you understand? Yeah. One day someone was telling me about watching a video where people were crawling up to the top of a certain mountain on their knees for salvation. You know, and he said the thing was all so bloody because you have to crawl on the ground literally and go up to the mountain. If you're able to make it to the top there, then you are supposed to be saved. You know, so those who couldn't go that far, you know, they it means those people couldn't be saved. If salvation was something that we bought with money, if it was something we could purchase with money, then the rich will be saved and the poor will also not be saved. But God in his wisdom has removed salvation from all those places. Do you understand? He has removed from salvation from depending on people's education, because God understands that we are not evenly blessed, isn't it? The world is not evenly blessed. Not every place has the same resources. You don't find the same kind of wealth everywhere. Even among people, we are not equally educated, isn't it? So God has made salvation not depend on any of the inequalities among humanity. Hallelujah. And he has made it very simple. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Greek, they can be saved. Because anyone can believe. We cannot all afford salvation if we had to buy it with money. We cannot all afford salvation if we all had to understand it, if it depended on intellectual capability. Then some smart ones will get saved, and the not so smart ones will not get saved. So it doesn't depend on anything like that. It depends on just believing with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing that with your mouth, and you'll be saved. So something as simple as this, why is the world not saved? If we continue to read the scripture, you begin to understand how come the world is still not saved. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on someone in whom they have not believed? Nobody trusts or depends on anything they don't believe in, isn't it? If you don't believe in it, you don't depend on it. One day I heard someone tell the story of a man who was, you know, one of these tightrope walkers. He tied a rope between two trees and then he actually walked the rope. He just stood up and walked across from one end to the other. And people thought he was going to fall. They stood there and they watched him. And when he walked, he made it across and then came back. And they said, wow. They clapped for him, you know. And then the man took a wheelbarrow And he asked the people, how many of you believe that I can actually take this wheelbarrow with me and I'll ride it, I mean just roll it across to the end of the rope to the other tree and come right back with it? Well, the people haven't seen what he did the first time and thinking that nobody will come and make a fool of himself, at least they thought he didn't want to die. So they raised their hands. We believe you can do it. The man took the wheelbarrow and he walked across to the other side. And from the other side, he called on to the people and he asked them, how many of you believe that I can bring the same wheelbarrow back to where I brought it from? The people said, we believe. They raised up their hands and then he rolled the wheelbarrow and made it across. Then he asked them another question. How many of you believe I can put a human being into this wheelbarrow and send him across and bring him back? The people raised up their hand. We believe you can do it. Then the man asked one more question. Okay, who will come and sit in the wheelbarrow? And we'll take a ride across to the other side and come back. And that's where the people said, you know something, we believe, but just keep that offer to yourself. Hallelujah. When people don't believe, they don't entrust themselves to it. They don't really believe it. Do you understand? So the Bible is saying here that even though salvation is simple, people have to believe in order to engage it. Amen. How shall they call upon him? Verse 13. Whosoever, give us verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has guaranteed salvation to anybody in any place who will call upon the name of the Lord. Just follow this simple step towards salvation. He says they will be saved. Sometimes we human beings don't believe that people can be saved. We feel that someone is so bad that when they say they've been washed by the blood of Jesus, we don't believe it. We feel that this person will need quite a few washes. You know, they'll need to be run through the blood of Jesus a few times in order for them to be clean. But the blood of Jesus is that potent. And all you have to do is to call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Hallelujah. But the problem, verse 14 is the problem. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on someone they don't really believe in? But why don't they believe? He says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You know, because believing is also a function of hearing. As you keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, you start to believe. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith is produced by hearing. It is because of what you hear that you believe what you believe. It is because of what you have heard about anyone, whether it's a race or a group of people or a country or any place. It is because of what you have heard that you believe what you believe. Hallelujah. And what you believe is actually determining your actions. That is why if I was saying to you today that I'm offering you a special vacation in the mountains in Afghanistan, you are likely to say no thanks, even though it's a fully paid for vacation. You know, I said just to spend 2 weeks with the Taliban, you still say no. It is because of what you have heard. Because of what you have heard, you have believed something. Wow. And because of what you believe, you will not do certain things. Wow. Isn't it? So the scripture is saying that they will not call on him in whom they have not believed. And they will not believe in him of whom they have not heard. Isn't it? Then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Isn't it? That means preaching is the primary way by which people hear the gospel. And when they hear, they can have faith. Isn't it? And then based on their faith, they will call upon him. And when they call upon him, they shall be saved. Hallelujah. So if that is all it takes, why are the preachers not preaching for the people to hear and believe and call upon him so that they can be saved? That is explained in verse 15. Verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Hallelujah. How shall they preach except they be sent? So it means the real activators of this whole process are the senders, isn't it? And the real people to blame when this process is not carried out is the person at the back of it all. And that is the sender. Hallelujah. Amen. To send someone means to support the person. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why your parents can say, I sent you to school. Wow. A lot of people whose parents would claim they sent them to school actually went to school by the school bus. So, literally, it's not the parent that actually sent them to school. It is the school bus that took them to school. But the parent can say, I sent you to school because I paid for the process by which you got to school. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why someone can say, I sent you to such a place. So sending involves paying for someone to do what they are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I pay for you to watch a movie, I've sent you to the movies. Wow. You are having your movie experience because I paid for it. Wow. Hallelujah. So you send someone by supporting them to do something and sustaining them while they're doing it. That's how you send someone to do something. And he says that, how shall they preach except they be sent? That means, how shall they preach except they are supported, except they are sustained while they are preaching? It means all preaching will eventually come to an end. It will stop if the senders or the supporters stop. If there are no people supporting, the preaching will come to an end. Hallelujah. And we're not talking about just a one-time support. One-time support is great, but for the preaching to continue. See, when you have a problem that recurs, you need a solution that recurs. When you have people being multiplied, sin being multiplied every day, new ways of sinning, new sins being added to the old, you know, and then new people to practice the sins, the population of the world is exploding, the population of the world is increasing. As it's increasing, we used to be 6 billion. We used to be 6 billion. Now they say 7 billion. So who is going to preach to the extra billion? Do you understand? We have more people to preach to than we used to. So more sinners are coming in all the time. More sinners. Every year some new people just roll out of their... They just join the sinners. Every year more people are born. And I mean, think of the world as a production line. And people are being born every day. Every time you hear a birth, someone at the other end is also graduating into now starting a new practice of sin. Hallelujah. So we need the preaching to continue. As more sinners are born, as more sin is being practiced, as people are discovering more things to do, we need more preachers to preach to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need more preachers to preach to them. Not to mention the other places where the people are even forgotten. People that are not minded because they don't have anything to offer. If you see the videos and you see some of the places where Bishop has been blessed to preach. I mean, they don't have anything to offer. There is no reason why anybody would go there. That's why they would not put a Coca-Cola factory there. They will not put a Coca-Cola factory there because those people cannot afford to buy the Coca-Cola. Hallelujah. That's why you will see a Coca-Cola factory here. But you won't see it in such a place. The people have nothing to offer. But they are souls. And according to her t-shirt, a soul is a soul and is precious to God. They may not be precious to us, but they are precious to God. Hallelujah. They may not be precious to us. As far as human beings are concerned, you are precious when you have something to offer. When you don't have anything to give to people, they don't find you precious. But God finds everyone precious, whether they have something to offer or have nothing to offer. Hallelujah. That is why we need to send people to those people. We need to send people to those people. Just as God sent someone to you. Do you remember when God sent someone to you and to speak to you about Christ and to speak to you about salvation? You also need to send someone to others. You also need to send someone to others. Hallelujah. And it says they cannot preach except they be sent. They cannot preach except they be sent. Hallelujah. If people will be sent, you know, we will have more salvation. Because when they are sent, come back to verse 14, please. When they are sent, you know, then they will preach, isn't it? When they preach, people will hear, isn't it? When they hear, then they will believe, isn't it? When they believe, they will call upon him, isn't it? And when they call upon him, they will be saved. Hallelujah. So the whole process begins with the sending. When the sending is missing, we are all lost. No salvation is possible. That is the reason why we continue to have Healing Jesus, Global Healing Jesus Sunday services. That is the importance of today. You may say, oh, but I've given to Healing Jesus before. Like I said, anything that is must recur must receive recurring support. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you did it before. Yes, you did. Just like you ate before. Isn't it? Some of you ate breakfast this morning. You're already planning lunch. Isn't it? And you're already planning dinner. I mean, before you came out of your house today, you have it all laid out. I mean, I'm going to eat this now. I'm going to eat this at this time. And I'm going to eat that for tonight. And sometimes you reserve the best for later. Isn't it? Yeah. Because you are a human being that needs sustenance. Isn't it? Let me read this final verse with you before I close my sermon. Hallelujah. This last verse is found in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15 and verse 16. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Hallelujah. Now pause right there and notice how it is churches that support evangelism. Do you understand? See, this Paul who is writing this, he's the one we read about earlier as working mightily among the uncircumcised. But right here, he's revealing to us that it wasn't just because he had a message. Do you understand? It's not just because someone is anointed or that someone has a good message that preaching is done. Behind every preaching and every great work of evangelism, there is somebody supporting. And so Paul is explaining that no church communicated or related with me concerning giving and receiving except you. Hallelujah. And then in verse 16, look at verse 16. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Hallelujah. Ye sent what? Once and what? Again. Hallelujah. So there are times when you give a great one-time offering, then you also give a repetitive offering. Hallelujah. He said that ye sent once and then again unto my necessity. That means unto my needs. As I needed, you kept repeatedly supporting me. Can I have an amen? That is why this is not going to be the only time you will hear about Healing Jesus Crusade. This is not the last time you will hear about Healing Jesus Crusade. That is why we keep coming back over and over and over again. I think it wasn't that long ago, just a few weeks ago, we just received an offering when I was announcing about announcing today's service, isn't it? Right. Where we just gave a little offering for healing Jesus. That is there. That is one type. But this is also important. Hallelujah. To be able to reach these people, we need to spend lots of money to be able to get to them. You saw some of the roads, some of the places, our vehicles even break down. You know, the last crusade they had in one of the countries on the western part of Africa, you know, they lost a truck. Yeah, the truck was going up and then, you know, it slipped some way and the whole thing just fell into a ditch. You know, sometimes they go to some of the countries and the vehicles break down. They can't even come back. So they just have to dash them to somebody in that place. So imagine you have maybe 3 or 4 trucks with which you're doing this crusade. And then when you go on one crusade, you have to come back without that truck. It means everything that that truck was doing remains undone. Whatever it carried will not be carried. These truck heads cost a lot of money. You know, you try to ask for the price of a truck head and you'll see that these heavy duty things cost a lot of money. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see this is something that we need to keep supporting and keep supporting and keep supporting. Every support requires sacrifice. Means that you have to sacrifice to be able to support someone. Hallelujah. Amen. To support someone, you have to sacrifice. Even your own children, you have to sacrifice to be able to support them. Do you see what I'm saying? Something you could use for yourself, you have to put a pause on that and say, you have it. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we ask for support from people, we are not asking because people have so much and don't have any agenda. No, that's not what it is. It is that people have things to do, but we encourage them to see the work that needs to be done. See the vastness of the harvest. And remember that it is our duty. Remember the verse I read to you. It says that if I tell the person that because of your wicked ways you will die, and I tell you, tell him, and you don't tell him, he will still die and be responsible for his wicked ways. But I'm going to come and ask you. You will be responsible for his blood. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to prepare or give a one-time good offering to support healing Jesus. Amen. This is not our tithe. I'm not saying divert your tithe. Do you understand? Because remember, we're still a church and the church still needs to be operated. Isn't it? Yeah, it still needs to be. The church is a whole entity on its own that has so many responsibilities. Hallelujah. But we've been blessed to have this additional responsibility. And to whom much is given, much is required. Isn't it? Like anybody who has a lot of services coming into your house, you also have a lot of bills to pay. Isn't it? So if God has given you a great church and has given you this crusade, then you shouldn't be surprised that you have two lots of things to support, isn't it? Yeah. Just like those who have cable and then you have internet and you have this and that and that. It means you also have to pay all these bills. Hallelujah. So that's the essence of today's service. Amen. And I want us to bow our heads and say a prayer before we go into receiving our offering. Just bow your heads and I want you to pray for Healing Jesus Crusade for just 1 second. Please stand to your feet, everybody, and let's pray. Let's join hands together to pray for Healing Jesus Crusade. Let us pray that this crusade will not get stuck. This is like a soul-saving machine that is turning souls in for the Lord in thousands, in hundreds of thousands. In 10 years, we have 8 million decisions for the Lord. It shouldn't take another 10 years. By this time, we should be good at it. We should be better at it than when we first started. We should be able to run at a faster pace. We should be able to do a bit more and work a little faster. Because we still don't know how long we have. We don't know how much time we have. The faster we work, the better it will be. And that is why God needs to bless Healing Jesus Crusade. God needs to bless Healing Jesus Crusade with greater opportunity, more support, more supporters, that the gospel will run faster. So I want you to pray. Everybody just pray for the crusade. Open your mouth and pray and ask God to bless the crusade, to anoint Bishop Dag, to open more doors into more countries. More doors into more countries. More places will receive the gospel through Healing Jesus Crusade. Pray that God will supply every need they have. So many different needs that this crusade, any operation on this scale is bound to have so many different needs. And the needs at this level are very expensive. Expensive solutions to difficult problems. Expensive solutions to difficult problems. But God is able to do it. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards us. God is able to supply all our need. The Apostle Paul said that my God, my God, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pray that God will help us, that God will open the doors, that God will bless, God will bless, God will bless, God will bless the crusade as they go even to dangerous places. Dangerous places, danger, risking their lives. Young men like you and I, who have given themselves up, laid down their lives on a full-time basis to be traveling to these places to minister to them, to preach to them. Oh, what is our contribution? What is our contribution? We need to pray and ask God to help in the name of Jesus. And pray that God will touch your heart. Everybody pray that God will touch your heart. And say, Lord, may I never turn my back to this opportunity. May I never turn my back to this opportunity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you have given to this church. We are honored that you gave it to us. Not to any other, but to us. We are honored that for something you would have done and could have done through others anyway, you chose to give us the honor of being the ones to do it. And so we pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts to be faithful unto this commission, to be faithful to what you have given us to do. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us to make the sacrifices we need to make. Touch our hearts to do what we need to do in order that Healing Jesus will receive the support that he deserves. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.